As a host, I'm loving this hour. This is pretty great. First of all, Melissa Oftemeyer and also Brenda Adams being two of the sweetest people that I've ever met and doing wonderful, wonderful work. And we thank them very much for being with us. And then while we were out talking to them and having a great time, in snuck John Fisher. He is of the Culinary Institute of America, associate professor there. And he took over the studio and filled it with beer, cheese, and chili. What is not to love? The Super Bowl is coming up next weekend. Perhaps you're planning a gathering for the event. We thought whether you are or not, it would be helpful to call in an expert to help feed guests in a remarkable, comfortable, and relaxing way. John Fisher joins us with an array of tastes to help plan for the big game. We tried to get Ray in here. I was trying to guilt him into it, but he actually said that he had to work. The great thing about having Sarah in here is this actually is her work. So that she'll still be here with us.
I'm sure everyone is very surprised.
And doing her work, yes.
I was tempted by...
Part of the job.
Beer and cheese.
As our producer, you should be here to oversee
okay,
all
I'm ready
of this.
To-
And
make sure this
and John
right.
is still being the host with the most here, pouring beer and putting.
I was born to serve.
You were born to serve. My goodness, this is terrific, and we'll get you seated and then we'll talk to you. But this is lovely, lovely, lovely. We have we have chili, okay. beer, and cheese. That's what we have in front of us.
And me.
First of all, First of all, let me introduce John to you, associate professor of the Culinary Institute of America, author of the book Cheese. Identification, classification, and utilization, and an all-around great guy. And John, welcome to the program. It's wonderful to have you back.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
You, we were in touch a couple of several weeks ago, and we said, maybe Super Bowl would be a neat idea to come in. I was thinking cheese because the last time John was with us, we were talking about cheese, and that's the book that he's written. But you do so much with any number of subjects. Like, what are you teaching this semester?
Beer, booze, and wine. So I have a brewed class, which is about the history.
Best job in the world.
And nigh on the best job in the world.
Yes.
And so I teach in the beverage management program at the school. We actually now were approved by the state, so we will have a specialization in beverage management as part of our bachelor's program. And me and Doug Miller and Jen Purcell and Heather Kolakowski, we've been working on it for the last 5 years, trying to get this specialization available to be printed on the diploma and everything.
That's fantastic. And so in my conversations with John said, well, I make a mean batch of chili. And he said, that's, we can talk about how we pair all of this stuff. And I said, well, sign us up. So here you are. And chili is sort of a, it's a very, it's like jazz music. It can be anything, can't
yeah.
it?
And it is. It is everything. The talk of the history is just like anything in food or booze history. It's veiled in mystery. Well, booze history is even harder because it happens in bars. And the origin
harder
of,
to remember.
The origin right. of the martini is like there's seven stories and none of them are necessarily true.
but they're all good stories.
Yeah, yeah. But with chili, it's probably that it was just the food that was being made along the trail during cattle drive. And what was available was either beef jerky, which would be reconstituted with water, and the spices of local peppers, chili peppers, just cooked in a pot until it was edible. And in fact, one direction I read said, cook until you think the meat is as tender as it will get. And so that's, chili was just a very basic meat and chili pepper stew. And chili refers to the peppers, not to
right.
the meat. And you can use rabbit, donkey, slow horse, whatever meat was around, and just spice it properly and cook
you
it long
You could,
enough.
But you probably could do better.
It would have a lot of extra flavor, maybe. but there was a history of the so-called chili queens in San Antonio, Texas, where one of our campuses is, and there would be hundreds of Mexican and Mexican-American women around the military plaza there serving from these carts, and it was basically this kind of chili that was meat and chilies. And it's, of course, evolved. Americans get chili in a Hormel can. They get it on their hot dog on the corner, and it's
gross. It can be gross.
Well, it depends on how hungry you are. But
yeah.
But chili, a lot of people think there have to be beans. Beans is an option. There are no beans in this chili. I violated one of the Texas rules. The Texas rules are no tomatoes, no beans. And I'd put tomato in my chili because I think it needs some acidity. And the other things that are in it, all you have to do really is to look at a can of chili powder and see what the ingredients are in it, and you can make it yourself. I didn't use any so-called packaged chili powder for this chili. I used dried chilies from the Mexican store in Poughkeepsie. I used fresh garlic. I used Mexican oregano that I grew in my garden. So it's all those ingredients are in chili powder. So you can do what I did and go crazy and toast the cumin seeds in a cast iron skillet and then grind them in a spice grinder. Or you can buy a jar of McCormick's chili powder. And that's just fine.
Sarah, which would you do?
Both are too complicated for me.
Hormel can. Yeah. So chili, and I do take it pretty seriously. We take it pretty seriously at the school.
Now, do you have, or did you share a recipe with us? Or do
he
we
did.
Have,
it's okay. online.
Okay, so we'll have that online.
Or will be shortly.
Yep. It's the John Fisher 10-pound chili. I can only make it in batches of 10 pounds. I don't know
Thank
why.
Thank God. all right, so we're gonna try this now. This is, I have to tell you, is incredibly aromatic and amazing. So I look forward to the tasting part of it.
Well, the standards for the International Chili Society, which is a very important society, is that it should be ruddy red. It should be neither too soupy nor too thick. One of the things that I also do for my chili is rather than using ground meat, I dice meat finely so I know exactly what meat's going in there. There's no mystery.
Yeah, well, now you're scaring me when you were talking about the donkey. So what's in? What kind of meat is in here?
This is actually, I got local meat from
local
Adams.
Donkey. Good. There
local
you go.
Donkey. It's the terroir, you know. no, it's it's I got used a combination of chuck and flank steak, and I diced it finely, and it gives it, it's more toothsome that way.
Yeah.
It also gives it more beef flavor. I also put a pound of ground pork in.
This is amazing, John. It really is incredible. What I love about it is that it has that, you can taste the peppers, you can taste that spiciness, but it isn't overwhelming. It doesn't paralyze your tongue in any way. And it still allows you to taste all those other wonderful flavors.
Well, that's the key, and that's something I learned during my misspent Ute, was that just because I like screaming hot food,
yeah.
And as a very white man, I sweat a lot when I eat hot food. You know, waitresses come over with a paper napkin saying, Mister, you okay? But I love really hot food, but I know that not everybody does. So the idea is to make it with a sensible amount of heat, but also a breadth of flavors. And I used, I think, 5 different kinds of chili peppers in here because they all have different characteristics. I have a book in my bag over there if you want to take a look at it later about how the different dried and fresh chilies, what their characteristics are. And we have a chef, Bill Phillips, at school he's forgotten more about chili peppers than I'll ever know. Yeah. And he worked in Southwestern cuisine a lot. Actually, we graduated the same year in '88 from culinary. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy. And I was talking to him. I said, what's the blend that you use? And he said, I was asked him about the difference between anchos and mulatos. Well, that sounds like Sanskrit to most people, but ancho chilies are the big, fat, dried poblanos, and they add a raisiny sweetness. But the mulatos are a dried, different kind of poblano chile, and they add an earthiness and a depth of flavor, and that's what I used for these. Along with New Mexican Reds, I used some chiles de arbol, a little ancho chili powder, and some fresh jalapenos. So it should taste like chili peppers. And there's, you know, the cumin that I toasted and ground. And so it's got a broad range of things in it. A lot of onions, too.
It's stunning.
So we need to talk about the...
Try some beer with it.
Cheeses and the beverages you brought, but... First, I wanted to ask how long it takes you a long time then to make this if you're doing all these.
Well, when you're making 10
roasting
pounds,
and chopping and
it's an investment in time.
Yeah,
you know, and it does take a long time. The meat, getting the meat done, I discovered a secret last year. I used to brown it all in a skillet and just keep having to do batches of meat, and it's really tedious and messy. And now I just cube it all and I put it on a half sheet pan and broil it until it's brown. So it's a lot easier. So that's the time-saving thing to a certain degree.
So to be ready for Sunday, a kickoff next week, we would want to start this when?
You could start it Friday. You could start it Friday, do the prep on Friday, maybe put it in a slow cooker the next morning, then put it in the fridge to sit overnight and reheat it the next day. That'll help it to be ready. And you don't have to be nuts like me and do all the crazy detailed things. And it really isn't that hard anyway. I mean, it's stew. I wasn't standing there sautéing fish. You know, it is pretty simple once you get everything together because it just sits on the stove and cooks. So it's not that bad, even if you want to do it this detail-oriented way.
Mm. Well, no, there's nothing bad about this. This and to Sarah's point, the cheese that you sprinkled on top, and you also have provided sour cream as well, those do what? They're a little bit of a mellowing.
They ameliorate the heat to a certain degree. Also, a lot of people just, Americans love cheese. So,
Was that cheddar? Is that cheddar on top?
But actually, I got Grafton smoked cheddar from Vermont. And it's...
so good.
It's good.
And there's a little smoke. Oh, I forgot to put chipotles, dried chipotles and chipotles in adobo and the chili also. And you're not supposed to tell that there's five different kinds of chilies. It's just supposed to taste complete.
Right. Unified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All together.
So the cheese does calm the heat down a little bit. It makes it a little bit richer.
That's okay.
And it is
people
also sour cream.
We're getting texts that people want in on this.
So the sour cream... also calms the fire down and richens it a little bit, adds a little bit of sourness to it, a little
sour
bit of
cream,
acid.
Sour cream, Sarah?
Yes, please.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, I forgot.
No, that's fine. I didn't,
horrible.
I didn't pass it.
No, it's good to taste it with it and then without it.
But try some of the beverages.
That.
I brought a range of beers and one cider so you can see what you like best with it. Because it is tricky. With hot food, I worked in a restaurant in the city for a while called Arizona 206 that was the best known, maybe only fine dining Southwestern restaurant in New York at the time.
They still there?
No. It's been gone for a while. So I worked there, and it was the first time that I worked with almost all hot food. And for years, I've been, as a sommelier, recommending high-acid wines for food because it cuts the fat. Well, with hot food, if you have high acid, acid burns. If you watch the Batman shows, you know. and tannin hurts. Tannin feels like licking sandpaper. So if you put licking sandpaper and burning together with hot chili peppers, it's an altogether unpleasant experience. So for the first time in my life, I started recommending rich, oaky California Chardonnays and juicy, simple red wines with food. Beer is better with spicy food. And the first one,
I agree, John.
The first one is a cider, which is from Woodchuck. Woodchuck is owned by a big company now, but they started out as a very small cidery in 1990. Pretty sure Joe Cerniglia was the founder. He used to make actually varietal apple wines, and he started making cider. Now Woodchuck is a big cider company, still based in Vermont, and this is called their. Farmhouse Select Original 91. So this is, I'm guessing, it didn't say on the website, I checked, that it's their original recipe from 1991 using Belgian yeast, Belgian beer yeast. Mm. So the fruitiness of it should be nice and refreshing.
Well, that is nice.
It really
is. With the cider.
Cider is often too sweet for my drinking taste, but with the chili, it's really working.
You should try some of the French ciders, the ones from Normandy, because they're funkier and drier, because French cider is made from crab apples instead.
Yeah, we should try that.
Make me taste another beverage.
We'll have the cider tasting this time. Yeah. But the French ciders are made from crab apples instead of eating apples, the way the British make it. So the British ciders, most of the brands in the country now, and cider is getting hugely popular. They taste like the apples we eat. Normandy cider is a little bit sharper and more herbal.
It's interesting that when you go into a good bar now and a restaurant that they have a cider on tap.
Yeah, and it's been since the kind of there was like a British pub influx. We had our own British invasion in bars in the early to mid '80s, and there was cider on most tap trees. But it is much more popular than it has. It's increased, I think 40% sales have increased just in the last 2 years. So the other beers I brought was two beers from Omegang over in Cooperstown. The first is their Wit, which is a Belgian-style wheat beer.
One of my favorite beers of all time.
That has a little coriander and orange peel in it. And that would be a lighter, kind of refreshing beer also for the chili.
You know, I would think of that as a summer beer, but with the chili, it again... Because it's light, works so great.
It really works. It's like you know what you're talking about.
I fake it pretty well.
And then the other beer from Omegang is the Rare Voss.
So the other one is the Rare Voss, which is my favorite Omegang beer.
I really like it.
Also a great beer.
Developed by Randy Thiel. Yep, yeah. An amber ale. Rare Voss means wise fox.
Where's and Randy now?
Randy is out in Wisconsin at New Glarus, one of the best craft breweries in Wisconsin. They don't ship outside of Wisconsin, which I think is honorable but annoying.
Yeah.
But he's out there now, and he developed this beer. And it's a little bit spicier, a little bit more. You know, the amber malt is going to stand up to the spicing of the chili a little bit more.
But there's a mellow quality to it that I love.
It's one of my favorite beers that they make. It really is. And should be, it probably will be the best balanced combination with the chili. The fourth beer is an IPA from California, Lagunitas. And IPA is the most popular craft beer style in the country right now. 6 years ago, it was number four. And it's just exploded. If you go to any brew pub, you say, what's the most popular beer? They always say IPA or double IPA or Imperial IPA. And IPA stands for India Pale Ale. It was made stronger and higher in hops to make the sea voyage from England to the troops in India, because hops and alcohol are the only preservatives in beer. And so the regular British beer was getting to India, and it was crap by the time it got there. IPA made it, but it's now this American kind of brash style, especially the West Coast style, has a really, the hops are almost like resinous and pink grapefruit and other smells like that. And the hops could conceivably cut through the richness of the chili, but it also could be annoying. I haven't tried it yet. And the last one, just to get the beer quickly, is Gulden Drak. It's a Belgian brown triple. Most triples are gold. This is a brown triple. It was named the best-tasting beer in the world in 1998, or maybe in the 2000s. And it's strong and rich and malty. And it's got so much going on that it's almost got some cherry and fruit smells, aromas to it. There's no cherry or fruit added to it.
Is this one? That one?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
The darkest
that's,
one.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Thank you.
Don't nice spill catch. It.
No, I won't.
Don't spill beer.
and then I think I got these screwed up. So, and then this one is the...
The IPA is the second to last.
All right.
That's where it smells really hoppy. And it smells like grapefruit and has resinous notes.
Yeah. I'm not a huge IPA fan. I don't
like an IPA either.
But it is...
Thank you for bringing it, nevertheless.
Yeah. Well, I brought it because it's the most popular style
of
in America
no,
right now.
No, people love it.
And I don't like it with most food. It's great with cheeseburgers. It's unbelievable with cheeseburgers.
Well, what isn't?
Lukewarm water from a playground fountain is good with a cheeseburger. But IPA is so popular. It's good to show people that maybe they should have something else with the food they're eating. IPA does go with some things very well, but it shouldn't be your go-to beer necessarily.
You know what's great?
I don't.
Is that now I have like. Chili seizing my throat, but is that in just a minute, one of the most respected time-honored newsmen in the entire country is going to come in here and sit down, and there's just going to be like near empty beer glasses and chili bowls, and I feel bad for Brian, but
we could fill one of the bowls up before we leave.
Well, yes, but he being a professional, he won't embark until after the show, but. We have the beers listed on the website. We have the chili recipe listed on the website. And, you know, and just in wrapping up in our final moment, it does seem like a really great thing to do for any type of, I mean, we use Super Bowl as a peg for this, but for any type of get together, especially during the cold weather, because it does warm you, and it is it's darn good.
And it's relatively easy, and you can go anywhere from the chili pepper and ground meat from the grocery store to the detailed work of using your own peppers and stuff.
You can really impress your friends. If you go to WAMC.org and just go to the roundtable page, you can find the chili recipe there. You can also...
Or you will be able to shortly.
Yes. give us a few minutes.
15 minutes.
And I'm going to give you a half hour.
Okay.
And then we've got more chili.
What a guy.
And then don't forget, you can also find the beer list there as well. And we'll put up some pictures as well on our Facebook page. John Fisher is an associate professor of the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. His book is Cheese, Identification, Classification, and Utilization. And John, we love having you here. It's always a great pleasure. Thank you for feeding us. Thank you for being a wonderful guest. And we'll talk to you very, very soon.
I love coming up. Anytime.
Well,
it's my pleasure.
All right. Well, we'll work on that before you leave.